This is Tape 3, Side 1, The Summons of the Lord of Hosts, Tablets of Baha'u'llah, continuing from page 94, within the Tablet to Queen Victoria. Paragraph 182. Be united, O kings of the earth, for thereby will the tempest of discord be stilled amongst you, and your peoples find rest, if ye be of them that comprehend. Should any one among you take up arms against another, rise ye all against him, for this is naught but manifest justice. Thus did we exhort you in the tablet set down aforetime, the Surya Muluk. And we admonish you once again to follow that which hath been revealed by him who is the Almighty, the All-Wise. Should any one seek refuge with you, extend unto him your protection and betray him not. Thus doth the pen of the Most High counsel you, as bidden by him who is the all-knowing, the all-informed. 183. Beware lest ye act as the King of Islam, the Sultan of Turkey, when we came unto him at his bidding. His ministers pronounced judgments against us with such injustice that all creation lamented, and the hearts of those who are nigh unto God were consumed. The winds of self and passion move them as they will, and we found them all bereft of constancy. They are indeed of those that are far astray. 184. Reign in thy pen, O pen of the Ancient of Days, and leave them to themselves, for they are immersed in their idle fancies. Make thou mention of the Queen, that she may turn with a pure heart unto the scene of transcendent glory, may withhold not her eyes from gazing toward her Lord, the Supreme Ordainer, and may become acquainted with that which hath been revealed in the books and tablets by the Creator of all mankind, he through whom the sun hath been darkened, and the moon eclipsed, and through whom the call hath been raised betwixt earth and heaven. 185. Turn thou unto God, and say, O my sovereign Lord, I am but a vassal of thine, and thou art in truth the King of kings. I have lifted my suppliant hands unto the heaven of thy grace and thy bounties. Send down then upon me from the clouds of thy generosity that which will rid me of all save thee, and draw me nigh unto thyself. I beseech thee, O my Lord, by thy name which thou hast made the King of names, and the manifestation of thyself to all who are in heaven and on earth, to rend asunder the veils that have intervened between me and my recognition of the dawning place of thy signs and the dayspring of thy revelation. Thou art in verily the Almighty, the All-Powerful, the All-Bounteous. Deprive me not, O my Lord, of the fragrances of the robe of thy mercy in thy days, and write down for me that which thou hast written down for thy handmaidens, who have believed in thee and in thy signs, and have recognized thee, and set their hearts towards the horizon of thy cause. Thou art truly the Lord of the worlds, and of those who show mercy, the most merciful. Assist me then, O my God, to remember thee amongst thy handmaidens, and to aid thy cause in thy lands. Accept then that which hath escaped me, when the light of thy countenance shone forth. Thou indeed hast power over all things. Glory be to thee, O thou in whose hand is the kingdom of the heavens and of the earth. Page 96, Tablet to Nasruddin Shah, paragraph 186. O king of the earth, hearken unto the call of this vassal. Verily I am a servant who hath believed in God and in his signs, and have sacrificed myself in his path. Unto this bear witness the woes which now beset me, woes the like of which no man hath ever before sustained. My Lord, the All-Knowing, testifieth to the truth of my words. I have summoned the people unto none save God, thy Lord and the Lord of the worlds, and have endured for love of him such afflictions as the eye of creation hath never beheld. To this testify those whom the veils of human fancy have not deterred from turning unto the most sublime vision, and beyond them he with whom is the knowledge of all things in the preserved tablet. 187. Whenever the clouds of tribulation have rained down the darts of affliction in the path of God, the Lord of all names, I have hastened to meet them, as every fair-minded and discerning soul shall attest. How many the nights which found the beasts of the field resting in their lairs, and the birds of the air lying in their nests, while this youth, languished in chains and fetters, with none to aid or succor him. 188. Call thou to mind God's mercy unto thee, how when thou wert imprisoned with a number of other souls, he delivered thee and aided thee with the hosts of the seen and the unseen, until the king sent thee to Iraq, after we had disclosed unto him that thou wert not of the sowers of sedition. Those who follow their corrupt desires and lay aside the fear of God are indeed in grievous error. They that spread disorder in the land shed the blood of men and wrongfully consume the substance of others. We verily are clear of them, and we beseech God not to associate us with them, whether in this world or in the world to come, unless they should repent unto him. He verily is of those who show mercy to the most merciful. 189. Whoso turneth towards God must distinguish himself from others by his every deed, and follow that which hath been enjoined upon him in the book. Thus hath it been decreed in a lucid tablet. Those, however, who cast behind their backs the commandments of God, and follow the prompting of their own desires, are verily in grievous error. 190. O King, I adjure thee by thy Lord the All-Merciful, to look upon thy servants with the glances of the eye of thy favor, and to treat them with justice, that God may treat thee with mercy. Potent is thy Lord to do as he pleaseth. The world with all its abasement and glory shall pass away, and the kingdom will remain unto God, the most exalted, the all-knowing. 191. Say, he hath kindled the lamp of utterance, and feedeth it with the oil of wisdom and understanding. Too high is thy Lord, the all-merciful, for aught in the universe to resist his faith. He revealeth what he pleaseth through the power of his sovereign might, and protecteth it with a host of his well-favored angels. He is supreme over his servants, and exerciseth undisputed dominion over his creation. He verily is the all-knowing, the all-wise. 192. O King, I was but a man like others, asleep upon my couch, when, lo, the breezes of the All-Glorious were wafted over me, and taught me the knowledge of all that hath been. This thing is not from me, but from one who is almighty and all-knowing. And he bade me lift up my voice between earth and heaven, and for this there befell me what hath caused the tears of every man of understanding to flow. The learning current amongst men I studied not, their schools I entered not. Ask of the city wherein I dwelt, that thou mayest be well assured that I am not of them who speak falsely. This is but a leaf which the winds of the will of thy Lord, the Almighty, the All-Praised, have stirred. Can it be still when the potentious winds are blowing? Nay, by him who is the Lord of all names and attributes, they move it as they list. The evanescent is as nothing before him who is the ever-abiding. His all-compelling summons hath reached me and caused me to speak his praise amidst all people. I was indeed as one dead when his behest was uttered. The hand of the will of thy Lord, the compassionate, the merciful, transformed me. Can anyone speak forth of his own accord that for which all men, both high and low, will protest against him? Nay, by him who taught the pen the eternal mysteries, save him whom the grace of the Almighty, the All-Powerful, has strengthened. 193. The pen of the Most High addresseth me, saying, Fear not, relate unto his majesty the Shah that which befell thee. His heart verily is between the fingers of thy Lord, the God of mercy, that haply the sun of justice and bounty may shine forth above the horizon of his heart. Thus hath a decree been irrevocably fixed by him who is the All-Wise. 194. Look upon this youth, O King, with the eyes of justice. Judge thou then with truth concerning what hath befallen him. Of a verity, God hath made thee his shadow amongst men, and the sign of his power unto all that dwell on earth. Judge thou between us and them that have wronged us, without proof and without an enlightening book. They that surround thee love thee for their own sakes, whereas this youth loveth thee for thine own sake, and hath had no desire except to draw thee nigh unto the seat of grace, and to turn thee toward the right hand of justice. Thy Lord beareth witness unto that which I declare. 195. O King, wert thou to incline thine ear unto the shrill of the pen of glory, and the cooing of the dove of eternity, which on the branches of the low tree, beyond which there is no passing, uttereth praises to God, the maker of all names and creator of earth and heaven, thou wouldst attain unto a station from which thou wouldst behold in the world of being naught save the effulgence of the adored one, and wouldst regard thy sovereignty as the most contemptible of thy possessions, abandoning it to whosoever might desire it, and setting thy face towards the horizon aglow with the light of his countenance. Neither wouldst thou ever be willing to bear the burden of dominion, save for the purpose of helping thy Lord, the Exalted, the Most High. Then would the concourse on high bless thee. O, how excellent is this most sublime station, couldst thou ascend thereunto, through the power of a sovereignty recognized as derived from the name of God. 196. Amongst the people are those who allege that this youth hath had no purpose but to perpetuate his name, whilst others claim that he hath sought for himself the vanities of the world. This notwithstanding that never throughout all of my days have I found a place of safety, be it to the extent of a single foothold. At all times have I been immersed in an ocean of tribulations, whose full measure none can fathom but God. He truly is aware of what I say. How many the days in which my loved ones have been sorely shaken by reason of my afflictions, and how many the nights during which my kindred, fearing for my life, have bitterly wept and lamented. And this none can deny save them that are bereft of truthfulness. Is it conceivable that he who expecteth to lose his life at any moment should seek after worldly vanities? How very strange the imaginings of those who speak as prompted by their own caprices, and who wander distractedly in the wilderness of self and passion. Ere long shall they be called upon to account for their words, and on that day they shall find none to befriend or help them. 197. And amongst the people are those who claim that he hath disbelieved in God, yet every member of my body testifies that there is none other God but him, that those whom he hath raised up in truth and sent forth with his guidance are the manifestations of his most excellent names, the revealers of his most exalted attributes, and the repositories of his revelation in the kingdom of creation, that through them the proof of God hath been perfected unto all else but him. The standard of divine unity hath been raised, and the sign of sanctity hath been made manifest, and that through them every soul hath found a path unto the Lord of the throne on high. We testify that there is none other God but him, that from everlasting he was alone with none else beside him, and that he shall be unto everlasting what he hath ever been. Too high is the All-Merciful for the hearts of those who have recognized him to apprehend his true nature, or for the minds of men to hope to fathom his essence. He verily is exalted above the understanding of any one besides himself, and sanctified beyond the comprehension of all else save him. From all eternity he hath been independent of the entire creation. 198. Remember the days in which the son of Bata, Muhammad, shone forth above the horizon of the will of thy Lord, the Exalted, the Most High, and recall how the divines of that age turned away from him, and the learned contended with him, that haply thou mayest apprehend that which in this day remaineth concealed behind the veils of glory. So grievous became his plight on every side, that he instructed his companions to disperse. Thus was the decree made manifest from the heaven of divine glory. Remember, furthermore, how when one of these same companions came before the king of Ethiopia and recited unto him a surah of the Koran, he declared to his attendants, "This truly hath been revealed by one who is all-knowing and all-wise. Whoso acknowledgeth the truth and believeth in the teachings of Jesus can in no wise deny what hath been recited. We verily bear witness to this truth, even as we bear witness to the truth of that which we possess of the books of God, the help in peril, the self-subsisting." 199. I swear by God, O King, wert thou to incline thine ear to the melodies of that nightingale which warbleth in manifold accents upon the mystic bough as bidden by thy Lord the All-Merciful, thou wouldst cast away thy sovereignty, and set thy face towards this scene of transcendent glory, above whose horizon shineth the book of dawn tide, and wouldst expend all that thou possessest in thine eagerness to obtain the things of God. Reference on dawn tide to Quran 17, verse 78. Then wouldst thou find thyself raised up to the summit of exaltation and glory, and elevated to the pinnacle of majesty and independence. Thus hath the decree been recorded in the Mother Book by the pen of the All-Merciful. Of what avail are the things which are yours today, and which tomorrow others shall possess? Choose for thyself that which God hath chosen for his elect, and God shall grant thee a mighty sovereignty in his kingdom. We beseech God to aid thy majesty, to hearken unto that word whose radiance hath enveloped the whole world, and to protect thee from such as have strayed far from the court of his presence. 200. Glory be to thee, O Lord my God. How many the heads which were raised aloft on spears in thy path, and how many the breasts which have been made the target of arrows for the sake of thy good pleasure. How many the hearts that have been lacerated for the exaltation of thy word and the promotion of thy cause, and how many the eyes that have wept sore for love of thee. I implore thee, O thou who art the King of kings and the pitier of the downtrodden, by thy most great name, which thou hast made the dawning place of thy most excellent names and the dayspring of thy most exalted attributes, to remove the veils that have come in between thee and thy creatures, and debarred them from turning unto the horizon of thy revelation. Cause them then, O my God, by thy most exalted word, to turn from the left hand of oblivion and delusion unto the right hand of knowledge and certitude, that they may know what thou hast purposed for them through thy bounty and grace, and may set their faces towards him who is the manifestation of thy cause and the revealer of thy signs. 201. O my God, thou art the all-bountiful, whose grace is infinite. Withhold not thy servants from the most mighty ocean, which thou hast made the repository of the pearls of thy knowledge and thy wisdom, and turn them not away from thy gate, which thou hast opened wide before all who are in thy heaven and all who are on thy earth. O Lord, leave them not to themselves, for they understand not, and flee from that which is better for them than all that thou hast created upon thine earth. Cast upon them, O my God, the glances of the eye of thy favor and bounty, and deliver them from self and passion, that they may draw nigh unto thy most exalted horizon, taste the sweetness of thy remembrance, and delight in that bread which thou hast sent down from the heaven of thy will and the firmament of thy grace. From the everlasting thy bounty hath embraced thy entire creation, and thy mercy hath surpassed all things. No god is there but thee, the ever-forgiving, the most compassionate. 202. Glorified art thou, O Lord my God. Thou well knowest that mine heart hath melted in thy cause, and that my blood so boileth in my veins with the fire of thy love, that every drop of it proclaimeth with its inner tongue, grant that I may be split upon the ground for thy sake, O my Lord, the Most High, that from it there may spring forth that which thou hast purposed in thy tablets, and hast hidden from the eyes of all, except such servants as have tasted of the crystal stream of knowledge from the hands of thy grace, and quaff the soft-flowing waters of understanding from the cup of thy bestowal. 203. Thou knowest, O my God, that in all mine affairs I have sought only to obey thy bidding, that in mine every utterance I have wished only to extol thy praise, and that in whatsoever hath proceeded from my pen I have purposed only to win thy good pleasure, and to reveal that which thou hast enjoined upon me through thy sovereignty. 204. Thou beholdest me, O my God, as one bewildered in thy land. Whensoever I make mention of that which thou hast enjoined upon me, thy creatures cavil at me. Yet were I to neglect that which thou hast bidden me observe, I would deserve the scourge of thine anger, and would be far removed from the meadows of thy nearness. Nay, by thy glory, I have set my face towards thy good pleasure, and turned away from the things whereon thy servants have set their affections. I have embraced all that is with thee, and forsaken all that might lead me away from the retreats of thy nearness and the heights of thy glory. I swear by thy might, with thy love in my heart, nothing can ever alarm me, and in the path of thy good pleasure all the world's afflictions can in no wise dismay me. All this, however, proceedeth from thy power and thy might, from thy bounty and thy grace, and is not of mine own deserving. 205. This is an epistle, O my God, which I have purposed to send unto the king. Thou knowest that I have wished of him naught but that he should show forth justice to thy servants, and extend his favors unto the people of thy kingdom. For myself I have desired only what thou didst desire, and through thy succor I wish for naught save that which thou wishest. Perish the soul that seeketh from thee aught save thyself. I swear by thy glory, thy good pleasure is my dearest wish, and thy purpose my highest hope. Have mercy, O my God, upon this poor creature, who hath clung unto the hem of thy riches, and the suppliant soul who calleth upon thee, saying, Thou art verily the Lord of might and glory. Assist thou, O my God, his majesty the Shah, to keep thy statutes amidst thy servants, and to manifest thy justice amongst thy creatures, that he may treat this people as he treateth others. Thou art, in truth, the God of power, of glory, and wisdom. 206. By the leave and permission of the king of the age, this servant journeyed from the seat of sovereignty, Tehran, to Iraq, and dwelt for 12 years in that land. Throughout the entire course of this period, no account of our condition was submitted to the court of thy presence, and no present representation ever made to foreign powers. Placing our whole trust in God, we resided in that land until there came to Iraq a certain official who, upon his arrival, undertook to harass this poor company of exiles. Footnote on a certain official, Mirza Burzurg Khan, the Persian consul general in Baghdad. End of footnote. Day after day, at the instigation of some of the outwardly learned and of other individuals, he would stir up trouble for these servants, although they had at no time committed any act detrimental to the state and its peoples, or contrary to the rules and customs of the citizens of the realm. 207. Fearing lest the actions of these transgressors should produce some outcome at variance with thy world-adorning judgment, this servant dispatched a brief account of the matter to Mirza Sa'id Khan at the foreign ministry, so that he might submit it to the royal presence, and that whatever thou shouldst please to decree in this respect might be obeyed. Footnote on Mirza Sa'id Khan. The Mutaminullah Muluk Mirza Sa'id Khan e Anasari, Minister of the Foreign Affairs. End of footnote. A long while lapsed, and no decree was issued. Finally, matters came to such a pass that there loomed the threat of imminent strife and bloodshed. Of necessity, therefore, and for the protection of the servants of God, a few of them appealed to the government of Iraq. Footnote. Baha'u'llah here refers to his and his companions' application for Ottoman citizenship. End of footnote. 208. Wert thou to observe these events with the eye of fairness, it would become clear and evident in the luminous mirror of thine heart that what occurred was called for by the circumstances, and that no other alternative could be seen. His Majesty himself is witness that in whatever city a number of this people have resided, the hostility of certain functionaries have enkindled the flame of conflict and contention. This evanescent soul, however, hath, since his arrival in Iraq, forbidden all to engage in dissension and strife. The witness of the servant is his very deeds, for all are well aware, and will testify, that although a greater number of this people resided in Iraq than in any other land, no one overstepped his limits or transgressed against his neighbor. Fixing their gaze upon God and reposing their trust in him, all have now been abiding in peace for well nigh 15 years, and in whatever hath befallen them, they have shown forth patience and resigned themselves to God. 209. For the arrival of this servant in the city of Adrianople, some of the people of Iraq and elsewhere inquired about the meaning of the term rendering assistance unto God, which hath been mentioned in the Holy Scriptures. Several answers were sent out in reply, one of which is set forth in these pages, that it may be clearly demonstrated in the court of thy presence that this servant hath had no end in view but to promote the betterment and well-being of the world. And if certain of the divine favors which, undeserving as I may be, God hath pleased to bestow upon me, be not plain and manifest, this much at least will be clear and apparent, that he, in his surpassing mercy and infinite grace, hath not deprived mine heart of the ornament of reason. The passage that was referred to concerning the meaning of rendering assistance unto God is as follows. 2:10. He is God, exalted be his glory. It is clear and evident that the one true God, glorified be his mention, is sanctified above the world and all that is therein. By rendering assistance unto God, then, it is not meant that any soul should fight or contend with another. That sovereign Lord, who doeth whatsoever he pleaseth, hath entrusted the kingdom of creation, its lands and its seas, into the hands of the kings, for they are, each according to his degree, the manifestations of his divine power. Should they enter beneath the shadow of the True One, they will be accounted of God, and if not, thy Lord verily knoweth and observeth all things. 2:11. That which God, glorified be his name, hath desired for himself, is the hearts of his servants, which are the treasuries of his love and remembrance, and the repositories of his knowledge and wisdom. It hath ever been the wish of the Eternal King to cleanse the hearts of his servants from the things of the world and all that pertaineth thereunto, that they may be made worthy recipients of the effulgent splendors of him who is the King of all names and attributes. Wherefore must no stranger be allowed in the city of the heart, that this incomparable friend may enter his abode. By this is meant the effulgence of his names and attributes, and not his exalted essence, inasmuch as the peerless King hath ever been, and shall eternally remain, sanctified above ascent and descent. 2:12. It followeth therefore that rendering assistance unto God in this day doth not and shall never consist in contending or disputing with any soul. Nay, rather, what is preferable in the sight of God is that the cities of men's hearts, which are ruled by the hosts of self and passion, should be subdued by the sword of utterance, of wisdom, and of understanding. Thus, whoso seeketh to assist God must, before all else, conquer with the sword of inner meaning and explanation the city of his own heart, and guard it from the remembrance of all save God, and only then set out to subdue the cities of the hearts of others. 2:13. Such is the true meaning of rendering assistance unto God. Sedition hath never been pleasing unto God, nor were the acts committed in the past by certain foolish ones acceptable in his sight. Know ye that to be killed in the path of his good pleasure is better for you than to kill. The beloved of the Lord must in this day behave in such wise amidst his servants that they may, by their very deeds and actions, guide all men unto the paradise of the All-Glorious. 2:14. By him who shineth above the dayspring of sanctity, the friends of God have not, nor will they ever, set their hopes upon the world and its ephemeral possessions. The one true God hath ever regarded the hearts of men as his own, his exclusive possession, and this, too, but as an expression of his all-surpassing mercy, that haply mortal souls may be purged and sanctified from all that pertaineth to the world of dust and gain admittance into the realms of eternity. For otherwise that ideal King is, in himself and by himself, sufficient unto himself and independent of all things. Neither doth the love of his creatures profit him, nor can their malice harm him. All have issued forth from abodes of dust, and unto dust shall they return, while the one true God, alone and single, is established upon his throne, a throne which is beyond the reaches of time and space, is sanctified above all utterance or expression, imitation, description, and definition, and is exalted beyond all notion of abasement and glory. And none knoweth this save him, and those with whom is the knowledge of the book. No God is there but him, the Almighty, the All-Bountiful. 2:15. It behooveth the benevolence of the sovereign, however, to examine all matters with the eyes of justice and mercy, and not to contend himself with the baseless claims of certain individuals. We beseech God to graciously assist the King to fulfill that which he pleaseth, and verily that which he desireth should be the desire of all the worlds. 2:16. Later this servant was summoned to Constantinople, whither we arrived accompanied by a poor band of exiles. At no time thereafter did we seek to meet with anyone, as we had no request to make and no aim in view, but to demonstrate unto all that this servant had no mischief in mind, and had never associated with the sowers of sedition. By him who hath caused the tongues of all beings to speak forth his praise, while certain considerations rendered it difficult to make application to any quarter, such steps were perforce taken to protect certain souls. My Lord verily knoweth what is in me, and he beareth witness unto the truth of what I say. 2:17. A just king is the shadow of God on earth. All should seek shelter under the shadow of his justice and rest in the shade of his favor. This is not a matter which is either specific or limited in its scope, that it might be restricted to one or another person, inasmuch as the shadow telleth of the one who casteth it. God, glorified be his remembrance, hath called himself the Lord of the worlds, for he hath nurtured and still nurtureth everyone. Glorified be, then, his grace that hath preceded all created things, and his mercy that hath surpassed the worlds. 2:18. It is clear and evident that, whether this cause be seen as right or wrong by the people, those who are associated with its name have accepted and embraced it as true, and have forsaken their all in their eagerness to partake of the things of God. That they should evince such renunciation in the path of the love of the All-Merciful is in itself a faithful witness and an eloquent testimony to the truth of their convictions. Hath it ever been witnessed that a man of sound judgment should sacrifice his life without cause or reason? And if it be suggested that this people have taken leave of their senses, this too is highly improbable, inasmuch as such behavior hath not been confined to merely a soul or two. Nay, a vast multitude of every class have drunk their fill of the living waters of divine knowledge, and intoxicated, have hastened with heart and soul to the field of sacrifice in the way of the Beloved. 2:19. If these souls, who have renounced all else but God for his sake, and offered up their life and substance in his path, are to be accounted as false, then by what proof and testimony can the truth of what others assert be established in thy presence? The late Haji Syed Muhammad, footnote, Aka Syed Muhammad E. Tabatai E. Isfahani, known as Mujahid, and a footnote, repeating, the late Haji Syed Muhammad, may God exalt his station and immerse him in the ocean of his forgiveness and mercy, was one of the most learned divines of his age, and one of the most devout and pious men of his time. So highly was he regarded that his praise was on every tongue, and his righteousness and piety were universally acknowledged. Yet when hostilities broke out with Russia, footnote, the Second Russo-Persian War of 1825 to 1828, end of footnote. Repeating, yet when hostilities broke out with Russia, he who himself had pronounced the decree of holy war, and who with blazoned standard had left his native land to rally to the support of his faith, abandoned, after the inconvenience of a brief encounter, all the good that he had purposed, and returned whence he had come. Would that the veil might be lifted, and that which hath ere now remained hidden from the eyes of men be made manifest. 2:20. For more than 20 years this people have, day and night, been subjected to the fury of the sovereign's wrath, and have been scattered by the tempestuous scales of his displeasure, each to a different land. How many the children who have been left fatherless, and how many the fathers who have lost their sons. How many the mothers who have dared not, out of fear and dread, to mourn their slaughtered offspring. How numerous those who, at eventide, were possessed of utmost wealth and affluence, and who, when morning came, had fallen into utter abasement and destitution. No land is there whose soul hath not been tinged with their blood, nor reach of heaven unto which their sighs have not descended. Throughout the years the darts of affliction have unceasingly rained down from the clouds of God's decree, yet despite all these calamities and tribulations, The flame of divine love hath so blazed in their hearts that even should their bodies be torn asunder, they would not forsake their love for Him who is the best beloved of the worlds, but would welcome with heart and soul whatever might befall them in the path of God. 221. O King, the breezes of the grace of the All-Merciful have transformed these servants and attracted them unto His holy court. The witness of a true lover is upon his sleeve. Nevertheless, some of the outwardly learned have troubled the luminous heart of the King of the Age concerning these souls who revolve around the tabernacle of the All-Merciful and who seek to attain the sanctuary of true knowledge. Would that the world-adorning wish of His Majesty might decree that this servant be brought face to face with the divines of the age and produce proofs and testimonies in the presence of His Majesty the Shah. This servant is ready and taketh hope in God that such a gathering might be convened in order that the truth of the matter may be made clear and manifest before His Majesty the Shah. It is then for thee to command, and I stand ready before the throne of thy sovereignty. Decide then for me or against me. 222. The All-Merciful saith in the Quran, His abiding testimony unto all the peoples of the world, Wish ye then for death, if ye be men of truth. References to Quran 294 and Surah 62, verse 6. Behold how He hath declared the yearning for death to be the touchstone of sincerity. And in the luminous mirror of thy judgment it is doubtless clear and evident which people have chosen in this day to lay down their lives in the path of the beloved of the worlds. Indeed, were the book supporting the beliefs of this people to be written with the blood spilled in the path of God, exalted be His glory, then countless volumes would have already appeared amongst men for all to see. 223. How, we fain would ask, is it possible to impugn these people, this people whose deeds are in conformity with their words, and to give credence instead to those who have refused to relinquish one jot of their worldly authority in the path of Him who is the unconstrained? Some of the divines who have declared this servant an infidel have at no time met with me. Never having seen me or become acquainted with my purpose, they have nevertheless spoken as they pleased and acted as they desired. Yet every claim requireth a proof, not mere words and displays of outward piety. 224. In this connection, the text of several passages from the hidden book of Fatima, The Blessings of God Be Upon Her, which are relevant to the present theme, will be cited in the Persian tongue, that certain matters which have ere now been hidden may be revealed before thy presence. The people addressed in the aforementioned book, which is today known as the Hidden Words, are those who, though outwardly known for learning and piety, are inwardly the slaves of self and passion. 225. He saith, O ye that are foolish, yet have a name to be wise, wherefore do ye wear the guise of the shepherd, when inwardly ye have become wolves intent upon my flock? Ye are even as the star which riseth ere the dawn, and which, though it seem radiant and luminous, leadeth the wayfarers of my city astray into the paths of perdition. 226. And likewise he saith, O ye seeming fair, yet inwardly foul, ye are like clear but bitter water, which to outward seeming is crystal pure, but of which, when tested by the divine assayer, not a drop is accepted. Yea, the sunbeam falls alike upon the dust and the mirror, yet differ they in reflection, even as doth a star from the earth, nay, immeasurable is the difference. 227. And also he saith, O essence of desire, at many a dawn have I turned from the realms of the placeless unto thine abode, and found thee on the bed of ease, busied with others than myself. Thereupon, even as the flash of the Spirit, I returned to the realms of celestial glory, and breathed it not in my retreats above, unto the hosts of holiness. 228. And again he saith, O bond slave of the world, many a dawn hath the breeze of my loving kindness wafted over thee, and found thee upon the bed of heedlessness fast asleep. Bewailing then thy plight, it returneth whence it came. footnote from Persian Hidden Words, numbers 24, 25, 28, and 30. 229. Therefore, in the exercise of the royal justice, it is not sufficient to give ear to the claimant alone. God saith in the Quran, the unerring balance that distinguishes the truth from falsehood, O ye who believe, if a wicked man come to you with news, clear it up at once, lest through ignorance ye harm others, and afterwards repent of what ye have done. Quran 49, verse 6. The holy traditions, moreover, contain the admonition, Believe not the tale-bearer. Certain of the divines, who have never seen us, have misconceived the nature of our cause. Those, however, who have met us will testify that this servant hath not spoken save in accordance with that which God hath commanded in the book, and that he hath called attention to the following blessed verse, Exalted be his word. Do ye not disavow us merely because we believe in God, and in what he hath sent down unto us, and in what he hath sent down aforetime? Quran 5, verse 59. 230. O King of the Age, the eyes of these refugees are turned towards and fixed upon the mercy of the Most Merciful. No doubt is there whatever that these tribulations will be followed by the outpourings of a supreme mercy, and these dire adversities will be succeeded by an overflowing prosperity. We fain would hope, however, that His Majesty the Shah will himself examine these matters and bring hope to the hearts. That which we have submitted to Thy Majesty is indeed for Thine highest good, and God verily is a sufficient witness unto me. 231. Glorified art Thou, O Lord my God. I bear witness that the heart of a king is in truth between the fingers of Thy might. If it be Thy wish, do Thou incline it, O my God, in the direction of charity and mercy. Thou verily art the Almighty, the Most Exalted, the Most Bountiful. No God is there beside Thee, the All-Glorious, the One whose help is sought by all. 232. Concerning the prerequisites of the learned, he saith, Whoso among the learned guardeth his self, defendeth his faith, opposeth his desires, and obeyeth his Lord's command, it is incumbent upon the generality of the people to pattern themselves after him. Footnote, a tradition described to the 11th Imam, Abu Muhammad al-Hasan al-Aksari. End of footnote. Should the king of the age reflect upon this utterance, which hath stemmed from the tongue of him who is the dayspring of revelation of the All-Merciful, he would perceive that those who have been adorned with the attributes enumerated in this holy tradition are scarcer than the philosopher's stone. Wherefore not every man that layeth claim to knowledge deserveth to be believed. 233. Again concerning the divines of the latter days, he saith, The religious doctors of that age shall be the most wicked of the divines beneath the shadow of heaven. Out of them hath mischief proceeded, and unto them it shall return. And again he saith, When the standard of truth is made manifest, the people of both east and west curse it. Footnote, tradition ascribed to the sixth Imam Abu Abdullah Jafar As-Sadiq. And footnote. Should anyone dispute these traditions, the servant will undertake to establish their validity, since the details of their transmission have been omitted here for the sake of brevity. 234. Those doctors who have indeed drunk of the cup of renunciation have never interfered with this servant. Thus, for example, Sheikh Murtada, footnote, Sheikh Murtada e Ansari, a prominent Mujahideen, and a footnote, repeating. Thus, for example, Sheikh Murtada, may God exalt his station and cause him to repose beneath the canopy of his grace, showed forth kindness during our sojourn in Iraq, and never spoke of this cause otherwise than as God had given leave. We beseech God to graciously assist all to do his will and pleasure. 235. Now, however, all have lost sight of every other consideration and are bent upon the persecution of this people. Thus, if it be inquired of certain persons who, by the grace of their Lord, repose beneath the shadow of thy royal mercy and enjoy countless favors, what service have ye rendered in return for these royal favors? Have ye, through wise policy, annexed a further territory to the realm? Have ye applied yourselves to aught that would secure the welfare of the people, the prosperity of the kingdom, and the lasting glory of the state? They will have no other reply than to designate, justly or falsely, a group of people before thy royal presence as Babis, and forthwith to engage in massacre and pillage. In Tabriz, for instance, and in the Egyptian town of Mansouriyye, a number of this people were ransomed and large sums were seized, yet no account of these matters was ever made in the court of thy presence. This is the end of side one. Please stop the tape, turn it over, and continue on side two.